Come to the place where the fun never ends. Welcome back, everybody, to Jip and to Eric and to friends. We have a mystery guest here today, and I want you all to try to guess who it is by the sound of the voice of this person. And the sound of their voice is this.
Hello.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Oh, it's Hannah again.
It's me.
It's Hannah again. What a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Such a cool thing. Hannah, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
In our room.
Mm-hmm.
As we read. And our dog panics over the fact that there's a sound in the room.
Yeah. Her anxiety's up a little bit.
Yeah,
today.
It's okay. It's fine. Well, this podcast is due in 2 hours. So
yeah,
we better get to reading.
Get right to it.
We're going to get right to it. Speaking of getting right to it, today is day 100 and something. 119 is what it is. And we're going to be reading 2 Samuel 21 and 22, as well as Mark 14, 51 through 72. And I'd like to apologize to everyone that can hear the heavy breathing of our dog. She's having a tough time. Are you having a tough time? Yes, you are having a tough time. You know who else is having a tough time?
Who?
Some other people.
Ooh.
Yeah. Let's read about it.
Okay.
David avenges the Gibeonites. 2 Samuel chapter 21. There was a famine during David's reign that lasted for 3 years. So David asked the Lord about it, and the Lord said, "The famine has come because Saul and his family are guilty of murdering the Gibeonites." So the king summoned the Gibeonites. They were not part of Israel, but were all that was left of the nation of the Amorites. The people of Israel had sworn not to kill them, but Saul, in his zeal for Israel and Judah, had tried to wipe them out. David asked them, "What can I do for you? How can I make amends so that you will bless the Lord's people again?" "Well, money can't settle this matter between us and the family of Saul," the Gibeonites replied. "Neither can we demand the life of anyone in Israel." "What can I do then?" David asked. "Just tell me and I'll do it for you." Then they replied, "It was Saul who planned to destroy us to keep us from having any place at all in the territory of Israel. So let 7 of Saul's sons be handed over to us, and we will execute them before the Lord at Gibeon on the mountain of the Lord." "All right," the king said, "I will do it." And the king spared Jonathan's son Mephibosheth, who was Saul's grandson, because of the oath David and Jonathan had sworn before the Lord. But he gave them Saul's two sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth, whose mother was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. He also gave them 5 sons of Saul's daughter, Merab, the wife of Adriel, son of Barzillai, from Mahola. The men of Gibeon executed them on the mountain before the Lord, so all 7 of them died together at the beginning of the barley harvest. Then Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, and the mother of the two men, spread burlap on a rock and stayed there the entire harvest season. She prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at the bodies during the day and stopped wild animals from eating them at night. When David learned what Rizpah, Saul's concubine, had done, he went to the people of Jabesh-Gilead and retrieved the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan. When the Philistines had killed Saul and Jonathan on Mount Gilboa, the people of Jabesh-Gilead stole their bodies from the public square of Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hung them. So David obtained the bones of Saul and Jonathan, as well as the bones of the men the Gibeonites had executed. Then the king ordered that they bury the bones in the tomb of Kish, Saul's father, at the town of Zelah in the land of Benjamin. After that, God ended the famine in the land.
Battles against Philistine giants. Once again, the Philistines were at war with Israel, and when David and his men were in the thick of battle, David became weak and exhausted. Ishbenob was a descendant of the giants. His bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds, and he was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue and killed the Philistine. Then David's men declared, "You are not going out to battle with us again. Why risk snuffing out the light of Israel?" After this, there was another battle against the Philistines at Gob. As they fought, Sibekai from Husha killed Saph, another descendant of the giants. During another battle at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jair from Bethlehem, killed the brother of Goliath of Gath. The handle of his spear was as thick as a weaver's beam. In another battle with the Philistines at Gath, they encountered a huge man with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in all, who was also a descendant of the giants. But when he defied and taunted Israel, he was killed by Jonathan, the son of David's brother, Shimeah. These four Philistines were descendants of the giants of Gath, but David and his warriors killed them.
David's song of praise. I'm going to spare them singing it. 2 Samuel chapter 22. David sang this song to the Lord the day the Lord rescued him from all his enemies and from Saul. He sang, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. He is my refuge, my savior, the one who saves me from violence. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. The waves of death overwhelmed me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary, and my cry reached his ears. Then the earth quaked and trembled. The foundations of the heavens shook. They quaked because of his anger. Smoke poured from his nostrils. Fierce flames leaped from his mouth. Glowing coals blazed forth from him. He opened the heavens and came down. Dark storm clouds were beneath his feet. Mounted on a mighty angelic being, he flew, soaring on the wings of the wind. He shrouded himself in darkness, veiling his approach with dense rain clouds. A great brightness shone around him, and burning coals blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered his enemies. His lightning flashed, and they were confused. Then at the command of the Lord, at the blast of his breath, the bottom of the sea could be seen, and the foundations of the earth were laid bare. He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He restored me because of my innocence. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not turned from my God to follow evil. I have followed all his regulations. I have never abandoned his decree. I am blameless before God. I have kept myself from sin. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He has seen my innocence.
To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity you show integrity. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You rescue the humble, but your eyes watch the proud and humiliate them. O Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord lights up my darkness. In your strength I can crush an army. With my God I can scale any wall. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God is my strong fortress, and he makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. You have given me your shield of victory. Your help has made me great. You have made a wide path for my feet to keep them from slipping. I chased my enemies and destroyed them. I did not stop until they were conquered. I consumed them. I struck them down so that they did not get up. They fell beneath my feet. You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. You placed my foot on their necks. I have destroyed all who hated me. They looked for help, but no one came to their rescue. They even cried to the Lord, but he refused to answer. I ground them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trampled them in the gutter like dirt. You gave me victory over my accusers. You preserved me as the ruler over nations. People I don't even know now serve me. Foreign nations cringe before me. As soon as they hear of me, they submit. They all lose their courage and come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise to my rock. May God, the rock of my salvation, be exalted. He is the God who pays back those who harm me. He brings down the nations under me and delivers me from my enemies. You hold me safe beyond the reach of my enemies. You save me from violent opponents. For this, O Lord, I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. You give great victories to your king. You show unfailing love to your anointed, to David and all his descendants forever.
Okay, we're going to jump forward here to Mark chapter 14, verse 51 through 72. One young man following behind was clothed only in a long linen shirt. When the mob tried to grab him, he slipped out of his shirt and ran away naked. Jesus before the council. They took Jesus to the high priest's home, where the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of religious law had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and went right into the high priest's courtyard. There he sat with the guards, warming himself by the fire. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they couldn't find any. Many false witnesses spoke against him, but they contradicted each other. Finally, some men stood up and gave false testimony. We heard him say, "I will destroy the temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without human hands." But even then, they didn't get their story straight. Then the high priest stood up before the others and asked Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus was silent and made no reply. Then the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand, coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, "Why do we need any other witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your verdict?" "Guilty," they all cried. "He deserves to die." Then some of them began to spit at him, and they blindfolded him and beat him with their fists. "Prophesy to us," they jeered. And the guards slapped him as they took him away.
Peter denies Jesus. Meanwhile, Peter was in the courtyard below. One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest came by and noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and said, "You are one of those with Jesus of Nazareth." But Peter denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said, and he went out into the entryway. Just then, a rooster crowed. When the servant girl saw him standing there, she began telling the others, "This man is definitely one of them." But Peter denied it again. A little later, some of the other bystanders confronted Peter and said, "You must be one of them because you are a Galilean." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." And he broke down and wept.
And that is our reading today. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure that I read that same passage in Mark on the podcast that I've already recorded for tomorrow. So that was like all of what we just read. I was like, I've definitely already read this.
Oh.
So I think there was some sort of mix-up on what was supposed to be on tomorrow's podcast. So yeah, just bear with us and we'll catch it up on Tuesday. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
No big deal.
No big deal. NBD.
No big deal, guys. No big deal.
It's the Bible. It's worth reading a couple times.
Yeah, that passage is powerful too. Okay, so here's the deal. We read all of this with 2 questions in mind. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So, Hannah, the question is to you then, my dearest, my bride, my beloved, my smork.
I like that. It's really nice.
Yeah, I don't think I can think of a
personal,
better word.
Intimate.
Smorky.
Smorky.
So smorky. All right, smorks. I'm going to get an email about it.
I'm sure.
Calling you smorks. I won't call you smorks.
Okay. Maybe the kids. Who's a smorky?
Who's a little smorky? Well, this little smork right here is having a panic attack.
I know. Poor dog.
Yeah.
She's
okay.
So good.
How does this help you love?
I guess I'll do God.
Good.
Yeah.
God.
That is a powerful passage of Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I love... There's 2 things that have been standing out in the Bible, and it's... 2 completely different contexts, but it's when anyone says, "I am." So meaning when, you know, in the Old Testament, when like Samuel was like, "Here I am." I just find that very powerful to be like, and then God is the I am. And so it just always hits me when those words are said. It proves how Jesus is God. And like, it just hits. But one thing I noticed in the 2 Samuel passage was just, I don't know. You just hear about David and Goliath, and it's always like, oh, you fought your giants. But, you know, Jesus makes it very clear that, like, being a Christian doesn't make things easy.
Correct.
Like, the giants don't go away.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, you know, we read about 4 more giants that they had to defeat, and God helped them defeat them.
Yeah.
But the giants don't just go away. And God is just always going to be there helping us out when we face those giants. So
that's a great point. Yeah, the giants don't go away, but God's always there.
He's always there.
Yeah, all those giants died.
Even the 6-fingered ones.
I know, the inbred one. Just giant inbred dude.
24 total.
I know. I brought a weaver's beam. All right.
It's like they were so specific. They had to like, they were like, convincing themselves, like, 6 here, 6 here, 24 total.
Yeah.
Which is very funny.
Total.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I see what you did.
Okay, so that's what makes you or helps you love God more. What helps me love others more in this passage? Well, I do love that David, trying to make it right with these Gibeonites, right, going through a really hard deal here, famine or whatever it was, you know, that caused him to go to God. And first of all, I want to say this. Not all of this is written chronologically. I think that's really important. Like, it feels like these are kind of appendices.
Yeah.
Of, you know, because that psalm that we read was, like, right after, you know, Saul. So when he says, like, I've never betrayed your decrees and stuff, that's before Bathsheba. That's right. Before the census, right? So it's actually pretty true at that point.
Mm-hmm.
That David was pretty blameless. But I think this is true, too, that David avenging the Gibeonites is, like, earlier also, like, shortly after he takes the throne. And, you know, he has no choice. He is bound. God has said that he is to do what he has to do to get the, to make them right, you know, to make things right. And so he is bound to hand over the sons of Saul, right? But he doesn't, first of all, he honors his deal with Jonathan by not handing over Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth.
Mm-hmm.
And also he goes and has the bones of Saul and Jonathan retrieved and the bodies of those guys who the Gibeonites killed retrieved so that he can give them a burial in their, like, that was really important to them, to have a family, to be buried in the family tomb was really important to them.
Yeah.
And he went out of his way to make sure that that happened, not just for Jonathan, but for Saul too, and Saul's sons. And I think that there's something cool in there about loving your enemies, you know? And Jonathan was David's closest friend. Saul was David's mortal enemy, not on David's end. He didn't want that, but
right.
Saul did. And he treated them the same, you know? And I think that there's something even and balanced and really beautiful about that, in the way that we should love our enemies. So that's what I'm going to say today.
I like it.
And again, you're going to hear that same Mark passage tomorrow. I'm almost positive of it. So that is what it is. But we'll make sure that on Tuesday, we will cover all of the passages. So you'll still be up to date if you listen in. So
you still read the Bible every day.
Yeah.
And you're still going to get through it in a year.
Exactly right.
Yep. You just got through it. For some reason, maybe divine appointment.
Yeah, maybe.
God wanted you to read that twice.
Could be.
Fun.
Could be. I'm going to just triple check right now in my little spreadsheet while you tell your wisdom.
Oh, I have to give wisdom?
Yeah, you have to give wisdom, of course.
I
think you knew that. I think you're shirking your responsibilities and that you knew that.
If you feel like your closet is cluttered and messy, if you color arrange it, it can look a little cleaner. What?
Oh, that's nothing. Nothing.
What's the matter? I'm not alphabetizing my closet.
Yeah, okay.
Just color coding it.
Yeah. Any sort of organization is deeply offensive to me as a person.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
I know.
That's why I'm a little over the top.
If your closet feels like it's kind of full, pull all the stuff out of it and throw it all around the room.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the evidence of that.
Yep, and it works. Mm. I don't feel cluttered anymore.
Yeah.
I feel incredible. Just right. Yeah, I just checked again in the Mark passage. Okay. You'll hear it tomorrow. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine, guys. And that is our podcast today.
Mm-hmm.
Say it, Hannah.
And that is our podcast today.
Oh, gosh. Wait, okay, with me. Ready? And that is our podcast today.
Okay. We should clap with it.
I can't clap. I'm holding something.
Get the Baptist clap going.
Well. All right, let's do a Baptist clap. You ready?
Yep.
Lord, we lift your name on high.